Resurrection by Leo Tolstoy, dramatized by Robert Forrest.
No! I'm not guilty! I did nothing! What I gave him was only... I didn't know what it was! I am not guilty! This is the truth I'm saying! The truth!
Katerina! Over here, Katerina!
Me? Is it me you want?
Yes, of course!
What for?
Don't you know me?
They said a gentleman to see me. Say who or what for?
We have to talk.
What about?
I want to help you.
Help me? How?
This place is impossible. We can't talk here.
Who are you?
I can't even get near you.
Whoever you are, if you want to help me, get me cigarettes and vodka.
When did you realize who I was?
Yesterday. Just as you left. Just as you turned away.
I thought you'd recognize me in court.
You were in court?
I was on the jury.
Good God.
You looked straight at me. For a long moment, I was sure you knew me then.
No. Did see a few faces, I know. Judges, lawyers, policemen. Some of them regular clients.
I suppose I have changed. 10 years.
There's vodka and cigarettes in here, by the way. One of the first things the older ones tell you, who to see for a drink and a smoke. Of course, we can always use more. I mean, if you can arrange for us to be alone like this...
I don't think I could do that.
Fair enough.
When you looked at me in court, tears came to my eyes.
That's nice.
No, it was nerves more than anything. I've gone into battle and have not been so... unmanned. I was afraid, you see. Afraid it would all come out somehow. About you and me. And in the jury room, this fear made it hard for me to speak out for you. Shameful. I have to tell you these things, Katerina.
All right, if I smoke.
I need you to know me and to forgive me.
Forgive you? The state of your nerves gets me 4 years in Siberia with hard labor, and you turn up asking for forgiveness.
That's not what I mean, and I did speak out for you. We all recommended mercy.
I should think so, too. Do you know how long I was with that animal? Neither do I. He used me so often I lost track. And he beat me. They do that, you know, some of them. When they can't manage the other, they get their blood up by punching. Did you know that, young prince?
Yes.
And that's when he gave me the ring, to soften me up again after the beating. I stole nothing, not the ring and not the money. I took only what he owed me.
I know that. We all accepted your story. It was a mistake.
Of course it was. I told them that. What I put in his drink, I was told, would only put him to sleep. I had to get away from him.
No, the verdict was a mistake. Bureaucratic error.
What?
We were in there a long time in the jury room.
I did notice that.
By the end, we were all tired, muddled.
I wasn't at my best myself.
Some of them just wanted it done with. Done with and go home. We'd no choice but to find you guilty. You would have admitted you'd given him the poison. But we found you guilty without intent to take life.
And for that, I get 4 years hard.
It was omitted.
What was?
The phrase... without intent to take life. It was left off our written verdict, so then the judge had no choice.
Christ.
I'll put it right, Katerina. I'll get you out of here.
So that's why you want me to forgive you?
No. I want your forgiveness for what happened 10 years ago.
She said she shouldn't be here.
Neither should I. I'm a political prisoner. I shouldn't be with ordinary criminals.
Oh, I'm no ordinary criminal, Vieira.
Oh, you're no hairdresser either. A bit gentler with the scissors, please.
I'm a seamstress, one of the best. And no criminal at all. I burnt down no one's house, and neither did my son. But there's my Alexei in the fortress, and here's me.
Oh, Lydia, please, you're going to have my scalp off.
These things are too blunt. Oh. Maybe none of us are where we belong.
She admitted she gave him the poison.
She thought it would only put him to sleep. Katerina's no fool, but the other two, the maid and the cleaner, they look stupid enough to think they'd get away with it. And it was the cleaner they found the 2,000 rubles on.
No, she isn't a fool, but she's a queer one. She's read Pushkin and Turgenev, and she speaks well, and she's a common whore.
Ordinary criminals and common whores. Folk aren't as simple as words like that.
No, you're right. The people are as varied and complex as they are oppressed.
Ah, the people. You are a political. There. Nowhere for the lice to hide now.
Thank God there's no mirror in here.
Oh, thought politicals had no time for vanity. You the sort that won't touch vodka?
No. I'll take a glass with you.
You should have your pubes shaved as well, mind.
Lydia.
I'm sure you can manage that for yourself.
Just pour the drink.
Now, Katerina, you see, was brought up near enough a lady, though she was born in a cowshed.
A cowshed?
On the land of two old spinsters, other side of Novgorod. One of them found this newborn lying beside her dead mother in the straw. So the two ladies brought her up, half servant, half ward. She did the usual sewing and laundry work, but she also got something of an education. So she'd be a companion to them, read to them and such.
Long way from there to a Moscow brothel. So, who's this gentleman visitor?
Yeah, he's a nephew of the two old ladies. Prince, something or other. And I'm not sure. Katerina hasn't said yet. But I think...
There was a child.
It died. I almost died myself.
And of course, you can never forgive me. I remember the first summer I really saw you. I was 19, so young, so full of ideals, notions of perfectibility.
There's a word.
I looked at myself and I looked about me and thought, I can be a good and striving man, and this country can be made new, free and just.
You were young.
And it seemed plainly unjust that one family, my family, could own 50,000 acres of this country.
Do you still own it? And what do you mean, first saw me? I must have been 14. You'd seen me dozens of times.
But that was when I truly saw you. Made new, born in the straw, but educated now. Well-spoken, well-read.
You're shapely already.
Anything seemed possible.
Indeed. I may have been able to read Turgenev and play a little Chopin. But I still had to change your aunt's bed linen, wash their smalls.
It must have been 3 years before I saw you again. Well, I did. I'd changed.
Yes. You had a moustache.
Army life. It can coarsen a man, corrupt him. Maybe to a degree it's understandable. We were at war, ready to die, so we grabbed at what life had to offer.
So you grabbed me because you might die soon? Understandable. To a degree.
Do you remember the midnight service? Easter Eve. You were wearing a white dress with a blue sash and red bow in your hair.
It was violet. The sash.
You were at the heart of that service. The gold of the icons seemed to glitter for you. The candles burned for you.
Yes, they did. And all the people sang for me.
For us. Rejoice, O ye people.
And the next night?
I remember standing outside your window. I could hear the ice breaking up on the river, groaning, cracking, tinkling.
I could hear it too. I was listening for you. I knew you'd come. Remember what I was wearing then? No? A stiff, unbleached nightshirt with no sleeves. All I had. Hardly noticed it, did you?
What I want you to understand, Kateri, Katusha, is that I feel I set you on the road that led to this place.
Well, Prince Dmitri, it was a long road. After your aunts threw me out, I was housemaid.
How could they do that?
Well, they waited till the baby was born. Maybe if it had lived, they'd let me stay, do you think? Anyway, I was housemaid to a policeman. Mauled me every chance he got. Then a forester. He never touched me, but I found out he had peepholes in every room in the house. And there were a few other situations before I got to the city. Worked in a laundry at first, but I couldn't bear what it was doing to my hands, so I got a place with a widow who had two sons. Both of them had a go at me. Even the 14-year-old. I lived with a writer for a while. I was young, foolish. But he did teach me some things. And at last, a dear long last, the brothel.
You make it sound like some kind of sanctuary.
And so it was. I dressed fine, ate well, plenty to drink, and not just vodka, French wine, champagne, regular medical checks and a license. Secure, well-paid, legal adultery. Not to be said for it.
Katusha.
Hard work, though.
Sell yourself.
You paid for it too, Prince.
Oh, but no, that wasn't...
You shoved a purse in the bib of my apron, and away you ran. Back to your war.
Oh, you're right. It tortured me. That money. Shameful.
Favorite word of yours. Be ashamed if you like, but that money came in very handy. 100 rubles. Most I ever made from one job.
All I did was teach. First, I taught myself. Then tried to tell others what I'd learned. About what was wrong and why.
Yeah, that's the hard bit, the why.
And how it could be changed.
Even harder.
But they can't bear the truth.
Truth went on a bonfire long ago. Mm.
Church doesn't want to know. State doesn't want to know. Tsar doesn't want to know.
Maviera, don't mention that, old gentleman. Or you'll go to the bonfire yourself.
Even the people don't want to know. Do you hear from your son, Lydia?
No letters. Though bits and pieces get through. He's not bearing it well. He was never strong and he's as smooth and hairless as a girl. It's all men in the fortress.
I sometimes wish I could have a son.
You never married?
No. Bourgeois distraction.
But you have no men.
Oh, yes. The comrades, you know. Share and share alike.
Oh, I need a drink. Oh. I need a large drink.
Oh, I don't think there's a large one left. Oh, time to visit old Kirov again. And it's a high price I have to pay him. Need the first mugful to get the taste out of my mouth.
Oh, Lydia. So, how's your gentleman caller, Katerina?
Stricken.
Stricken with what?
I just told him about the last time I saw him. He thought it was the day after he had me, when he shoved 100 rubles at me.
100?
And then galloped away. But it wasn't. I was 8 months gone at the time. I heard he was to be passing through, but didn't have time to visit his aunts. So I went to the station. 2 in the morning, raining, blowing. And there he is, in the lit-up first-class carriage, sitting on velvet, glass in one hand, cigar in the other, laughing. And me outside with my feet sodden and my shawl blown away. I ran after the train, all the way along the platform and down onto the mud. I ran till the train was out of sight.
Just like in a novel.
Then I stood and waited for the next one. I was going to throw myself under it.
Well, you told him all that.
What did he say?
Nothing. He just sat there looking like a crucified saint.
Good for you, my girl.
Thing is, he's probably the best man I've known. Well, the rest were worse.
Why is he here?
To beg my forgiveness.
Did you give it?
Not yet. But he still wants to help, so he says. Get me out, even.
Maybe you could help me, too.
Maybe.
And me. I mean, all three of us are innocent.
Tell me what's wrong. Dimitri?
Nothing's wrong.
Of course there is. Look, the cherry tree's in leaf. You hardly said a word all through dinner. Mama told that delightful story and you didn't smile once. I don't even think you raised your eyes from your plate.
I'm sorry, Mario. I shouldn't have come tonight. Too gloomy.
Then tell me. Share it with me.
I don't think I can.
You used to say you must always tell the truth. What hard truth you used to tell.
Too much is wrong. Too many things.
Give me one little thing.
All right. In court, one must swear an oath on the gospel, and in that very same gospel, swearing oaths is forbidden.
That is little. So it's your day on the jury that's troubled you. But it's over. It's over, and I've no doubt you did your duty well, no doubt at all. I understand what duty means to you.
Oh, I know. You've always understood me, Maria, but I think I've changed. Everything has changed.
Changed how?
It was a murder case.
Horrible?
Poison, and they read out a description of the victim's corpse. Fluid from mouth and nose and ears. They even had his inner organs there in court. In glass jars, five of them. Forgive me, Maria, but the world stood still. It grew sinister. Everything changed.
It's change you need.
Yes.
Why not go back to your painting?
Oh, that's over and done with.
But you have a real talent. Everyone says so, even Mama.
I've lost interest. Just as I lost interest in my government work, and before that grew weary of the army, and I'm weary of...
Of what?
Luxury. Seven-course meals on silver plate, half a dozen wines, footmen and maids, finger bowls.
You're weary of mother and father's hospitality?
No. It's myself I'm talking about. There it all is every morning when I wake up, lying in wait for me. Scented soap, cologne, fine linen, suit from London, boots from Italy, neckties, tie pins, cufflinks, silver coffee pot, sugar bowl, cream jug, cigar.
Dimitri.
Sorry. But I think of my townhouse, 10 rooms and 5 servants for one man.
You may not always be alone there.
I could be just as comfortable in a place half that size, in 2 rooms, in a modest hotel.
This sounds like your youthful self, Dimitri. When you used to talk about giving even your estates to the poor. Land that's been in your family for generations. But you know now, it's better that you manage the land well. Better for your family and your peasants alike. And if you had a wife to support you, children to pass it on to, well, have you lost interest in these things as well?
There were 3 defendants. And one of them...
What about him?
She's entirely innocent, of murder certainly. And she used to be a servant in our family, more than a servant.
And she's now an interest of yours?
I've already spoken to the president of the court and to a lawyer.
The sentence, it says, is the direct consequence of judicial infringements and errors so serious as to make it subject to rescission.
Rescission?
Annulling, doing away with.
And I get out of here.
It's his opinion that the most you should have been found guilty of is the misdemeanor of carelessness resulting in her client's death, which she did not desire. Sign here.
Can't say there weren't times I desired it.
And here. This appeal goes to the Senate, and if it isn't successful, which I'm sure it will be, then we petition His Majesty the Tsar himself.
So when will I be out?
Katerina, I'm sorry, but the lawyer says the appeal to the Senate alone could take as much as 3 months.
3 months? I'd be in Siberia by then.
I'll still fight for you. I've made a small step already. You're to work in the prison hospital. Light work, making beds, serving meals in the ward, that kind of thing. You'll still have to go back to your cell at night, but at least during the day you'll be able to move about. Breathe better air. See the light. Katerina?
Siberia.
I want you to read this.
What? Your Bible?
My journal. Here. I haven't kept a diary for years. Thought it was childish.
Yes, I see. But it is not. It is converse with my own self.
Petrina.
The true divine self which lives in every man.
You don't have to read it aloud.
I like this bit about me, so forlorn in the dock in my prison clothes. Are my eyes really lustrous and brilliant black? Honestly, my swelling bosom gets a mention.
These aren't the important things.
It's to me. Got to keep my figure in my business.
Do they make you cut your hair in here?
No, we do it. Because of the head lice. Ah, this will be the important thing, this bit here. Your true self is awake again. And this resurrected self of yours will spend every waking moment striving to help me.
It's true. However long it takes, here in Moscow or in Siberia.
Divine, resurrected. I don't believe in these things, Dmitri.
You don't believe in God? I know it's difficult sometimes.
No, it's not. It's easy. It's been easy for me to disbelieve since I saw you laughing in that first-class carriage.
Oh, Katerina, please.
And me outside, 8 months gone with your child.
Withhold your forgiveness if you must, but don't torture me.
I told you I lived with a writer for a while. He was mad, but he was clever, and he taught me that no one really believes.
That is mad. In Russia?
Well, they all say they believe. They talk about the power and the glory. But where is the power? In the church and the state and the hands of men. That's where. Did you see the painting in the entrance hall here?
The crucifixion.
What's he doing there? At the gate to a prison?
When Christ is supposed to be about liberty and love.
Right. And now what is he? A warning about what they can do to you. Pain and death. Salvation. All people really want is pleasure.
You truly think that?
We're not hungry or thirsty or in pain, yes. And as my mad old writer used to say, when you feel doubt or fear, don't bother praying. Have a drink or a smoke or, best of all, a woman. Aesthetics, he called it. Maybe a woman with a swelling bosom and lustrous black eyes. Because it's not just forgiveness you want from me. Is it, Dmitri?
Yes. And to help you.
Oh, so, if I was old and my breasts were sagging, I'd only 3 teeth left, you'd still want to help me?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you about a friend of mine.
Lydia Mientrova, sir. 60 years old. Seamstress and supplier of liquid refreshment. Sentence... deprived of civil rights, and north to penal servitude for 3 years. Crime of arson, which I did not do. How it come about, sir, was this. My son, Alexei, he got married last year to a woman whose face would addle the eggs and the brain of a scraped sheep. But he was getting on, and took what would have him. Thing is, and who can explain it... someone else would have her. Innkeeper, by the name of Bielski. And he stole her away like a bandit. My boy went to the police, the magistrate, the priest. But Bielski had money, so nothing was done. You know how it is, I'm sure. Then Alexia, he took her back by force, but he's never been good at forceful. And she was away again before nightfall. Next time he asked me to go with him, which I did, of course, though I was telling him all the way he'd be better off without her. Get a pup for company, says I, and use the village professional. But he just keeps grunting. And what's the mother to do? Bielski says she isn't there. So, who's that, says I, peeking out the bedroom window at me. Well, sir, blood was spilled, most of it my boy's. And next night, very next night, the Bielski alehouse burns down, living quarters and all. And that's their only evidence. Blood spilled one night, house burnt down the next. Of course, you know what it is. It's the insurance, sir. He set the fire himself, all insured as he was. plain as day and God's truth, and all to do with money.
All to do with money.
What is?
Maybe everything.
What a thing for you to say. Man of your ideals, your spirit. You can't deny the importance of money.
My spirit is sick, Marion.
And a carriage ride is just the thing for you. You don't look well, Dimitri. You're far too thin, and your colour is not as it should be. I almost gasped when I saw you this morning. Does Agrafena feed you properly?
Of course she does.
She's a treasure. And she's looked after you since you were a babe in arms. So don't let her down. Look after yourself. I wouldn't be surprised if she's still here to look after your children. I hope she is.
She was horrified when I suggested getting rid of the townhouse.
I don't doubt it. She'll protect your family's property like a lioness her cubs. She's the purest kind of Russian servant.
I don't think of her as a servant. She's just Agrafena. But it's what she is, of course, as dependent on me as any of my peasants.
Cold chicken, caviar, fresh crusty bread and French wine. And we'll have it at that lovely spot at the bend of the river, by that charming little humpback bridge, remember?
I've agreed to keep the house on until the winter. She says no one will take over a townhouse in summer. She's probably right. So she's gone ahead with the airing and cleaning. Carpets, curtains, furniture, clothes all outside in the courtyard. So much of it, and most of it unneeded. The only purpose I can see in it is to give Agrafena and the rest of the staff their spring exercise. And the smell of camphor everywhere. I will get rid of it, and the estate. A good part of them, anyhow. Not much point starting now, I suppose, before Katerina Maslova's case is settled.
Can that be settled?
I've discovered a new world, Maria. Stumbled into it, fallen into it. I didn't know. And the creatures that have to live there, the stories they have to tell.
Anatoly Krylstov, sir. Yes. Political prisoner. Member of the People's Freedom Party. Hard labour for life, although I doubt they'll get much labour out of me. And I wasn't political when they first arrested me. I was 18 and didn't know what I was. I wasn't political, but I didn't know what I was. A fellow student asked me for a contribution to the cause. Yes. I had no idea what the cause was, but he was a friend. He was arrested. My name was on some paper or other in his room, so they took me in as well, yes. Within a month, I'd developed a consumption. In the cells next to mine, Rozovsky and Lozinski. One a Jew, the other a Pole. Rozovsky, the Jew, said he was 17, but he looked no more than 15. He had a beautiful singing voice. We used to sing at night and talk, the three of us. Yes. But this night we didn't sing. And I wouldn't even talk. They tried to get me to, but I couldn't. You see, I knew the gallows had been built that day. They didn't. They knew they'd been sentenced to death for trying to escape, but no one had been hurt, and we all thought the sentence was only to scare them. Would never be confirmed, you know, not on children. Children. But the gallows had been built. Hangman was on the premises. And I couldn't answer them when they called to me. I sat on the floor, well back in the dark, away from the door, and couldn't answer. Sat there all night. Yes. Just before dawn, there was clanging of doors and footsteps, lots of footsteps. I heard a warder shout, "Get on clean linen, Rozovsky." Next thing, Lozinski's outside my door. "Got any cigarettes, Krylstov?" Calm as a sleepwalker. I still didn't speak. One of the warders gave him one. I heard the match. Then I heard Rozovsky. He was going on and on in his boy's voice about herb tea. He wasn't well and the doctor had prescribed herb tea and it hadn't arrived. Where was his herb tea? I went to the door then and looked out. His trousers were too wide and he had to hold them up with both hands. They took them away then. Lisinski saying nothing. Seemed to be enjoying his smoke, but I could hear those words. Herb tea, my herb tea. I'm supposed to have my herb tea fading away. And I went back and sat on the floor again. Dawn. Grey light, damp. Two children hanged. Strangled with ropes. Children. That's the morning I finally knew what I was, what I am. A revolutionary. Oh, yes.
It is beautiful.
You have the finest land in the region, sir.
It's not mine. Not in my heart it isn't, not anymore. It's God's land.
Well, that's true enough.
Maybe in your heart, sir. But it's not God we pay taxes to. It's not him that gives the order.
Quite right. You know why you're here?
Bailiff sent us.
I asked him to send my two most intelligent peasants.
Honoured, sir.
Yeah, well, I might have been bright once, but I worry I've lost the knack. I've a head on me as tired as my back. Best to warn you, sir.
You've been on this land for almost 70 years, Goods. You know it better than anyone. That's a wisdom I need to consult.
Wise old Goods. He forgot the way to his own sister's last week.
I got muddled just for a minute. It was foggy.
I like your brain.
Listen to me now. I want to talk about the estate, and I want to hear what you have to say about how it's managed.
Oh, managed good as any I know, sir.
We did hear a mad rumour you was planning to give it away.
It's not mad.
And what was you thinking of doing, sir? Giving it back to God?
In a way. I want to give it to you.
Me and Reason here?
To all of you. The peasants, the people. It's not mad, but it's not simple either.
And are you going to explain this thing that isn't simple and isn't mad? That's why he wanted a clever young one and a wise old one.
I'm going to talk about some ideas, see what you think of them. They're not really mine, they're ideas that started in America.
Well, there's no end of new notions over there, so they say.
Mad ones. And Russians isn't Americans.
Once we've had this talk, you can consult your families, your friends, then let me know what their thinking is.
Some of them don't think beyond the next bottle of vodka.
Let's at least us three talk it through, all right?
Right, you are, sir.
So. We begin with the idea that the land is given to us by God.
Stands to reason.
But if that's so, then did he not give it to everyone?
Doesn't look that way.
Garden of Eden, maybe.
Well, put it this way. Might we not think that it's God's will that everyone should share his creation?
It's not the Tsar's will. Is it, sir?
This is my land I'm talking about, Reason, not the Tsar's or anyone else's.
Right, sir. Your land.
All right. Consider this. Everyone on this estate is given a piece of it, and for that piece he will pay rent.
To you, sir?
No. To a public fund. Then when anyone has trouble, illness, accident, ruined crops, whatever, the fund is there to see them through the bad times.
Like putting money in the bank?
If you like.
But not just when we've got a bit to spare. We'd have to pay every month.
It would have to be regular, yes.
Yeah, the only thing I have regular is debt.
And how would you live, sir? If this miracle comes to pass.
I'm not sure yet. I may have to travel for a while. And maybe find a piece of land myself. Work it myself. A small place. Stud farm, perhaps. But something small. Simple.
Begging your pardon, sir. But this simplicity. Is it salvation you're talking about? Are you maybe anxious about your soul?
I saw a baby on the estate in its mother's arms. It had the face of an old man, all wizened and bloodless, wriggling its legs that were about as thin as worms. And the most horrible thing was, it was grinning all the time. Never made a sound, just wriggled and grinned.
Not a happy smile, I shouldn't think.
I asked the mother how they lived. I beg, was all she said. Didn't call me sir, didn't bow her head, looked me straight in the eye and said, I beg.
Did you give her money?
Yes. But it's not her I keep seeing. It's that ancient-looking baby with its horrible smile. Made me think of my mother.
Your mother?
When she was dying. There was a portrait above her bed of her, young, in a low-cut gown of black velvet, very low-cut. And this smile on her lips of, I don't know, like triumph. Now, this other smile. And the smell was all over the house. I still smell it sometimes. She said a strange thing. Don't judge me, Dmitri. I wanted her dead. I tried to tell myself it was for her sake that I was wishing an end to her suffering, but it wasn't that. It was the sight of her suffering. I wanted to be over.
And the smell.
But now I want to look these things in the eye. I want to look in the eye of a man I met here who's in prison because he read the Bible, because he found things in it the church pretends aren't there, and said so. He's been here for 3 years. But I'm sorry. Katerina, how are you?
Getting by.
The hospital, all right. They don't work you too hard.
No. The only thing is I can't smoke there. I've seen me standing outside the doctor's office just to get a whiff of his cigar.
No. At least we can walk in the courtyard.
Can't smoke here either. I'm sorry, sir. I do appreciate what you've done for me, what you're trying to do. And for Lydia, too.
I don't want you to call me sir. Call me Dmitri.
I'll try to remember.
And do you think gratefulness might become forgiveness?
Could we sit down? It is good to be in the air. Smell the trees. Thank you, Dmitri.
Katusha.
And good to hear the birds.
However long it takes, I'll see you free again. If it takes longer than we hope, then I'll follow you to Siberia. I promise.
And what will you do in Siberia?
Marry you. Will you marry me, Katerina?
The whore who married a prince?
Listen, I have plans. I mean to give up the townhouse, get myself free of the estates, which are a burden to me and unjust to everyone else. Whether or not you marry me, I plan to do all that.
You won't be much of a marriage prospect then.
But we could live simply. Simply and well. Will you marry me?
And live a simple, healthy country life?
Yes.
I used to live a simple life. Didn't get out of bed until the afternoon. Spent the next few hours in my dressing gown. And on to the silks and down to the parlour. And there they would be. Young men, middle-aged, old men, married and unmarried, merchants, clerks, judges, policemen, lieutenants in the guards, Armenians, Jews, Tartars, healthy, diseased, drunk and sober, rough men and timid men, not a few schoolboys. I lived like that for 7 years.
That's past. I don't care about the past.
Oh, you do. Of course you do. So don't talk about giving up estates and houses and your rich burdens for me.
Katerina.
Don't touch me. If you touch me, I'll scream. I swear to Christ, I will. Marriage. My price is a 10-ruble banknote.
But salvation, blissful salvation, is to be found in the blood shed for us by the only begotten Son of God, who gave himself up to be tortured for our sakes. His suffering and blood are our salvation. Holy is his blood. Disgusting. Vile. And this after an hour-long sermon about what fallen, sinful, hopeless, damnable creatures we all are. The answer to suffering and death is torture and death. Vile. Absurd and vile.
A fiery chap, this prison chap.
A monstrous hypocrite spouting perversion for the enlightenment of people who might find more salvation in clean water and fresh bread.
You're spending more and more time there.
I'm sorry, Maria, but I must.
No, don't apologise. I approve. Passionately.
You do.
You mustn't confuse me with my position.
What do you mean?
My position in society. Daughter of a prince, a wealthy and eminent, influential man.
Whose politics are merciless.
Indeed. And whose wise dinners and dances are the most glorious in Moscow. I was born into that world, Dmitri, and I must live in it. I speak its language and know every step of its dances. But my world is not myself.
Are you saying you're dissatisfied with your life?
I must contrive to be satisfied. But there is a worm in my mind that stirs sometimes.
But why must you be content? Why must you live like that?
Oh, Dmitri, be reasonable. What can I do? A woman of 29 and alone. A woman, Dmitri. I can give to charities, argue gently with my father, quietly help the poor where I can. But anything more radical, and I'd be an outcast. Alone. Or would you have me cut off my hair and declare myself a nihilist?
No, I wouldn't have you cut off your hair.
And I can see the same struggle in you.
In my thinness and pale face.
Well, the loss of weight isn't entirely unbecoming. But am I not right in saying that in trying to free yourself from the trammels of your position, and trying to do it alone...
Yes, simplicity isn't easy.
Perhaps you, too, are being a little too radical.
I'm a nihilist.
Of course you're not. You want to alleviate injustice. But simply throwing away all your possessions, what will that achieve? The largest estates can be managed for the benefit of everyone. There are examples everywhere. England, America.
You know about such things?
I don't just dance and eat caviar. I read too. You talk to your peasants.
Yes.
And they suspected you of planning to cheat them in some way.
I think they did.
And if you gave them all their land, they wouldn't know what to do with it. They wouldn't want it anyway. They hate the idea of change if it goes beyond less work and more vodka. Am I right?
Maybe you are.
Some young ladies daydream about riding off with the gypsies. I dream about having land of my own. Even just 500 acres. And what wondrous things I'd do with it. For one man alone, dreams like that are horrendously difficult to make real. For a woman, on her own, impossible.
I feel sometimes that I'm being hypnotized.
Hypnotized?
Everywhere you go in that other world, the world Katerina's led me into, everywhere you go, there's the same image, painted, carved, in a tapestry or on a door panel. Christ on the cross is everywhere. Courtroom, prison, hospital. You close your eyes at night and there it is. Crucifixion. And the feeling is nausea. First a kind of moral nausea, then real, physical. You want to roll and lean out of bed. And they combine the two feelings. They intensify each other. But you can't look away.
Makar Dievkin, Your Honour. Sir. 5 years with hard labour for attempted murder and attempted robbery, which I did attempt, but under orders. First, I didn't know who gave the order, but I do now. I'm to take a passenger, stranger, fancy, high-spoken gent. I'm to take him in my sleigh to the next village. 5 miles, blustery, snowy night. So, while he's in my hut drinking tea, I gets the horse and the sleigh rigged up, and under the straw at the back, I puts a hatchet. And I remember thinking, what do I want this for? Why? Orders. Out comes the stranger, and away we go. Jogs along, nice and ordinary for a while, till we're going uphill steep, and I gets out and I walks behind. Ease the weight. And this voice says, low down and growly, but I did hear it. Oh, I heard it. And it says, when you come to the top of the hill, there'll be people about. Lights. Next corner of the village. So get it done now. I reaches in. And this is true. The axe jumped. It jumped into my hand. I swung it up and was about to bash his head in. I don't now and I never did deny it. I was set to bash him. But he was a keen-eyed old fancy coat. And big. And fast and nimble. And the next thing, I'm lying in the snow. I give in at once. No struggle. I just lay there. So, I was taken in, and locked up and took to trial. Village commune gave me a clean character. So did the priest. and even the landlord I worked for put in a good word. All said I'd never done wrong before, which is true, and I haven't since. You see what I'm saying? The devil, sir, with a low growly voice. It was him that gave me my orders. It's the devil got me 5 years hard. Well, that and the fact I'd no money for a lawyer. So, can you help me at all, Prince Dmitri? Can you help a man that's never done wrong before? A clean character, beset by the devil. Prince?
Dmitri?
What? Oh. Sorry. Right. When they send you north, you'll travel with the political prisoners. They're better treated, a little better.
Thank you.
You'll be with, what's the name, Bogovskaya?
Vera, yes. That will help. We've become friends. Or something like it, company.
And Lydia Menshova. I've persuaded them that since her case and yours are both being appealed, she should be allowed to go with you.
That's really good. Thank you, Dmitri. And how are things with you?
Oh, they go along much as always.
You mean with big estates and townhouses?
I still mean to simplify, but it's difficult.
I'm sure you do, and I'm sure it is. And how's the Princess Malia? We hear things from warders, lawyers, doctors, such like. So, how is she, your fiancée?
We are not engaged.
But an understanding, then. How much does she understand? How much have you told her about me? Have you told her about your proposal?
It stands. I will marry you if you'll have me. I better go. I'll let you know as soon as there's word about your appeal.
I didn't come back here of my own accord. I didn't ask to leave the hospital.
I know you didn't. I know why you were sent back here.
I thought you did.
The medical assistant, was it?
Yes.
That tall fellow with the pimply face?
That's him. He has a key to the dispensary. There's a nice little sideline in prime alcohol. He's a persistent boy.
What happened?
I thought you knew what happened.
Well, they didn't give me much detail.
You want details?
No, I do not.
Go back to Maria, Dmitri. And thank you again. I'll always be grateful.
For heaven's sake, Dmitri. In the name of God.
She turned me down. She won't marry me or even forgive me.
What is there to forgive?
I made her what she is.
Don't be absurd. How could you make her a murderess?
She's not a murderess.
You made her a whore?
Maria.
Oh, I mustn't say the word, but you may offer to marry one.
What if your mother hears of your father?
They're both out.
The servants, then?
The servants. You get yourself a name all over Moscow for mixing with criminals. Murderers, arsonists, and radicals of every shape. You campaign for their release. And you worry what my servants might think.
It's your name I'm concerned about.
Sit down, Dmitri.
I think I should leave now.
Sit down, please. Now, why on earth do you think you made her what she is?
I seduced her.
Others pay and you seduce.
She was 17.
Oh, I see.
She had a child. It died. My aunts turned her out.
Yes, I do remember hearing something about that. But then, there aren't many young men in our set I haven't heard such a story about. Good God, by all means, campaign for prisoners' justice. I'm all in favour. But you don't have to marry one.
I loved her. I thought I did. For a while.
I can imagine how short a while. I'm sorry, Dmitri. But listen to me. Will you listen? You've been honest. As you always said we should be with each other. So let me tell you the truth. You should marry. You should marry a woman who is your equal. And I don't speak only of society, status. I mean your equal in intellect and in what? Aspiration? Has your Katerina read Herbert Spencer? I have. You need a woman who can help you achieve all the wonderful things you want to achieve. With your land, for justice, exploring new ideas and ways of working in poor, backward Russia. Isn't that what you really want? A partner in such work, such a life. The truth, Dmitri. I could be that woman. I am she. And I think you know it.
There's something else.
Oh, dear.
I've been seeing a married woman.
Do I know her?
Natasha Vasilyevna.
The Marshal's wife. Well, now.
I've been trying to break it off, but she's difficult.
Yes. Getting rid of a mistress can be as difficult as getting rid of a large estate. Don't look so bamboozled, Dmitri. I'm 29. You're not the only man I've loved, although you were the first. And not the only one to love me. I know a bit about men. Maybe not as much as your Katerina, but enough. Do you know what I like?
What?
Wine. Shall I ring for a bottle?
I still need to fight for her freedom.
Then we'll make it champagne and drink to your success. No Siberia for your Katerina.
How can we breathe in here?
Manage. You all right, Katerina?
Have to manage.
Of course you will. Window's not far off. But we can be together, eh?
Not this close together.
I can't move any further back. There's a baby here.
Look what they're trying to do. Cook us.
One of them tries to eat me. We'll be chokes on a bone.
I heard one trip, 7 people suffocated.
That they were men.
Aye, poor things, faint away so easy. Anyway, next stage we walk. Fresh air.
How far walking?
Hundreds of miles, and colder every mile.
First you complain about the heat, then the cold.
The air will move a bit when the train does.
Of course it will. Be like first class. And part of the way we go on a steamboat. Looking forward to that.
And some of the way in open carts on bumpy roads in the snow. Looking forward to that.
Think of the knackers we'll have.
3,000 miles of it.
Good we can be together. Go to your prince to arrange that.
Didn't see him out there to wave you off.
Didn't expect him.
Expect to see him in Siberia.
Expecting nothing. It is us.
We're away.
Away from that prison at least. Drinking vodka. Drink a toast to seeing the last of that hellhole.
So we should. And here it is. If I can reach my pocket. And don't you worry, my darling. Big place, Siberia. Teeming with princes.
And wolves.
So, here's the last of the hellhole. And to princes and wolves. Vera?
To the people.
To some people.
Aye. Here's to some of the people.
And most of them are women.
Resurrection by Leo Tolstoy, the part of Dmitri was played by Richard Delane, Katerina by Catherine Igo, Lydia by Vivian Dixon, Vera by Joanna Tope, Princess Maria by Leslie Hart, Krylstov and Rizin by Joseph Arkley, Goods and Makar by John Buick. Resurrection by Leo Tolstoy was dramatized by Robert Forrest and directed by Lou Kemp.